The Podcast Revolution Network is a collective of independent broadcasters banded together for mutual support, success, and to raise new voices to our platform. Our shows are made possible through listeners like you supporting our cause. For more information on supporting Podcast Revolution, please visit podrev.org. That's podrev.org. Thank you. Well, hello, hello, everybody. How are you doing? How are you doing? This is the S. Anthony Says Podcast. I am the S. Anthony Thomas, and this is episode number 235. Can you believe it? 235 episodes. Man, oh, man. And a whole bunch of you have been with me the whole time. And for those of you that have, thank you very much. For all the new people, thank you for joining up. Much love to everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now for me to whine and complain about crap for approximately an hour. You know, I've gotten into this habit now. Usually, if you listen to some of my earlier programs, a lot of the stuff was kind of written down and plotted out, maybe even just an outline or something along that line because I knew what I wanted to say. And a couple of them were scripted pretty tightly. If you listen to the early ones, I use special effects. If you hear special effects, it means that what you're hearing for the most part was pretty much scripted out, and you're hearing it the way it was scripted out. But as I became more and more comfortable with this and figured out how to do this the way that I wanted to do it, I've used less and less special effects, a.k.a. none of them. And now I just, you know, talk to my bastards, a.k.a. you guys, the way I would talk to friends of mine if we were having a regular conversation. And I'll tell you the truth. Like I said, I still will plot out things and write things down and put together an outline or a plan of what I want to say. But recently what's been happening, I mean, in the last few months, something has happened and then I'm going, yeah, well, the heck with that crap I just wrote. I want to talk about what just happened because it sparked something. And that happened to me again today. And what I want to say is, you know, you got to realize, and I know that I realize that people's time is very, very important and should be treated as if it is, in fact, important, right? Your time is important, right? You know, when I believe my time is important, right? Because doesn't it bother you? I mean, just think about it for a second. Think about how much it annoys you when someone absolutely wastes your time. That is one of the things that makes you the angriest, right? You know, we'll go with generic topics and generic things. Like when someone says that a technician is coming to your house and they give you this really wide range of time when they're going to come out. That's frustrating. But what happens when they actually show up at the beginning of that time frame? Say they say we're going to come out between 3 and 5 and they show up at somewhere between 2:45 and 3 o'clock. Oh, that's awesome. Why? Because you have now been given back a chunk of that time that you would be spending waiting for them, right? Like if you're waiting for the exterminator to come or the phone person to come or the repair person to come or some crap that you deliver to show up and they said they were going to be there at a certain time, you're not going to engage in certain activities, right? Like I was waiting for somebody to do something that they needed to do, that they were obligated to do for me today. And I knew that I couldn't record my podcast until after they did that because I don't want to be in the middle of a segment and then all of a sudden I have to leave the house for an hour and a half and then come back and then do everything. I don't want to do that. So I waited for them to do what they were supposed to do. And let's just say for the sake of argument, let's say they were supposed to do the thing that they were obligated to do, needed to do, promised that they would do at 9 a.m., and I'm one of those people, and I'll tell you the truth, if you meet me and we become friends at some point, if we meet each other in the future, you will know that if I tell you that I'm going to be there at 9 a.m., make no mistake, I will be there either at 9 a.m., like I said, most likely probably more like 8:45. I'll be there. There will be no 9:15, 9:20, none of that crap unless something big happens. And everybody that knows me knows that. So much so that if there's, for some reason, you know, my cell phone isn't working, I'm in a bad cell, which I don't, fortunately, I haven't run across with a new service provider, there's some kind of traffic or whatever. If I'm not there in like 10, say I say it was going to be there at 10 o'clock. If I'm not there at 10:10, everybody's like, what the hell happened? S. Anthony's not here. It's 10. He's never late. That's what happens. So this person is supposed to be doing the thing they're obligated to do, have to do, supposed to do, need to do, promised they would do at 9 o'clock. And then 9:05 rolls around. Not a big deal. I'm not expecting everybody to show up exactly when they're supposed to, like I do all the time. Not a problem. 9:10. Well, 10 minutes here or there. Maybe there's some traffic. Not a problem. Maybe this person doesn't have... No, maybe their phone doesn't, maybe the speaker phone doesn't work and they can't call. It's, I mean, I know they have my home phone number and I know they have my cell phone number, so I'm sure it's not that big of a deal. They're probably so close by right now, there's no reason to call me, right? If you're right around the corner and it's 10:10, why call me to tell me you're around the corner, right? I would do it, but not everybody's going to behave like me. So I'm sure this person is now 9:25. What the hell is going on? Well, I figure I'm going to call this bastard and see what the hell is going on. Well, you know, it's 9:25. I'll wait till 9:30. I don't know why I picked 9:30 as an arbitrary time to decide to call the jackass to make sure the jackass is bringing their jackass to my house so I could put my foot in their ass. But that's a whole different story. Speaking of the story, we'll now go back to it. So it's 9:25. I put the phone down. I rub my eye. I put my head down on the table because I was sleepy. You know what a micro sleep is? That's when you go to sleep really quickly, then you pop back awake, and that's usually a couple of seconds when you're really tired. Well, I had a micro sleep that turned into a macro sleep. I woke up at 9:47. Just kidding. It's 9:50. And they were supposed to be there at 9 o'clock. Now it's 9:50. What the hell is going on? And I'm going to pick up the phone and call the bastard. I call the bastard, don't want to answer the phone. I call another cell phone to someone else that knows the bastard, and the bastard's bastard did not pick up the phone. That bastard. It is now 10 o'clock. And now I'm standing by the front door. And that's probably a look at my face that will probably let someone know that maybe, just maybe, that nice guy that lives in that house is probably going to come down the steps and drop kick somebody. Because people are walking by that don't know me, just walking by, regular people just walking by the street. They see me standing at the door, they're smiling, they're having conversation, they look at me, they look at my face, they look at each other like, that guy looks like he's about to kill somebody. And guess what? They're damn right. Now it's 10:15. I am now in the kitchen beginning to take the knives that I have in the kitchen and rub them against the brick that outlines my window because I want them to be nice and sharp so when I throw them at the person, they will fly cleanly and land where I want them to land. I don't want to kill the person. I just want to graze the person. So I don't want to have any excuses when I start throwing these knives. I will not be throwing the knives. It is now 10:30. And now I pick up the phone again and I call the bastard. This will be the third time I called the bastard. And I called the bastards that the bastard knows. And those bastards that know the bastard called me back and told me they don't know where the bastard is. Oh, no. That bastard. 10:45. Hey, S. Hey, man, what's going on? You sound angry. Oh, why do I sound angry? Do I? Are you doing the deep, gravelly voice? I know you're angry. Oh, no, I'm not angry at all. What makes you think that? You get the devil voice on. There is no devil voice. I don't have a devil voice. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Really? You're going to be here in 5 minutes? Really? So what you're saying is you expect me to believe that you have some semblance of when to be places when you were supposed to be here at 9 o'clock and now it is 10:55, punk. All right, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, punk. It's 10:55 and you said you'll be here in 5 minutes. Okay, I'm expecting you at 11. It is now 11:15 and the punk's not there. I go back to sharpening the knives. I now see the car pull up. I see you sharpening knives in the window, man. You're not going to sharpen those knives or throw them at me. What makes you think I'm going to sharpen those knives to throw it at you, man? What are you talking about? Because there's a dummy outside that apparently you went inside the house, made a picture of me, put a picture of my face, cut it out, put it on top of this tackling dummy, and I can see 7 knives stuck into it already, implying that you had already practiced throwing your knives at something with my face on it. What are you talking about? Hold on for a minute. I told you to move the tackling dummy. Sorry, man. That's next time when I'm plotting to throw knives at somebody and I'm practicing with a dummy that has their face on it, you take the tackling dummy out the way so they won't see it. Sorry, bro. That's right. By the way, if you see a tackling dummy with your face on it in about 5 minutes, it's a complete coincidence. And as it turns out, the bastard showed up and did what the bastard was supposed to do, but a couple of hours later, and I hate that crap. I hate when people drag their feet and waste your time. That is one of the worst things in the world, to have your time wasted. It sucks. Your time is valuable, damn it, and it should be treated as such. I always hated that. Now think about it for a minute. When you're in a relationship, you ever heard the phrase, the best years of my life, when someone says something like that? You know why they said that? Because it was the best years of their life, meaning they were at their most attractive. They were at their most fertile. They were at their most this. And I'm talking about men too, because when we get older, yes, we can still have babies at 70. But let's be honest, if you take a look at the sperm under the microscope, those sperm are all using walkers and canes and stuff. Yeah, that's really scientific fact. No, it's not. But it is true that the sperm is better when we're younger. So sometimes when you go out on a date with somebody, you got to sit there and you got to make an assessment really, really quickly. Do I know I want to jump on top of this person and take them to Bang City? But is this somebody I want to be in a relationship with? Because if I'm in a relationship with them and I'm the kind of person that doesn't cheat, I'll be spending lots of my time with them. That's time. I could be with someone else unless they're the right person. So they become your significant other. Not your spouse, your significant other. Someone you're getting it on with on a regular basis. They're your boyfriend or girlfriend. And you're hanging out with them and you're having a great time, and now you have someone to take to Bang City on a regular basis. Someone with no diseases. Someone who now, after being with you a certain amount of time, knows the stuff you want to be done and the stuff you like to do and the stuff you like to have done to you and all that stuff. Ah, ha, ha. But then you start going, you know what, I like this person so much that we've been together all this time, and I'm surprised we haven't even thought about marriage, but it's been a few years, and quite frankly, I think we should get married. I'm going to ask her, or I'm going to ask him, or I'm going to make him ask me, or I'm going to get her to ask me, or whatever the combination is, damn it. And whoever decides to pull the trigger on the let's get married train pulls the trigger on the let's get married train, and then all of a sudden that train derails and crashes. Why? The other person goes, let's just leave it like it is. You want to have kids? Not yet. Let's think about it. Oh, wait a minute. Or maybe it's the woman. Hey, let's get married. Well, I don't know. I mean, we're already living right next to each other. I mean, you have your house and I have my house. And even though we come over to my house and all the time and get it on, and I go to your house all the time and get it on, I mean, everything's working fine right now, right? I mean, it's not like in about 7 years, it's going to be really difficult for you to have children because of our ages, and there will be literally no effect on me. I can go off and find some young chippy and knock her up really quickly and leave you in the dust and not even think about it. I mean, did I say that out loud? And then you have to think about that for a second. You've been with someone who doesn't even want to have kids, and you want to have kids. You spend all that time with them. That's time. You could have been out there finding someone who wanted to spend their time raising a kid with you. Maybe it's important to be married. It's not necessarily kids you want, but you want to get married. It's very, very important to you for some reason. And you find out that even though you guys have been getting it on and having a great time, the other person doesn't want to get married. But you want to get married, but they don't want to get married. And all of a sudden you realize, oh no, I spent all this time with someone who doesn't even want to get married. Oh. You feel dumb. You feel like you wasted a whole lot of time with that person when you know you wanted to spend that time with someone who wanted to marry you or have kids with you. You feel mad and bad and awful when someone in your mind wastes your time. I was thinking about time mainly because now I'm about to turn 48. Today is October 1st. Now, you guys won't be hearing this until midnight on October 3rd, but it's my birth month. Near the end of this month, two things happen. One, the first thing that happens during near the end of the month, this podcast turns 3. The second thing that happens at the end of the month, the person who created, hosts, and writes, and produces, and does everything for this podcast turns 48. And I'm in good health and I'm probably not going to croak for another 40 years or so, I still think in terms of what is the best use of my time. And I'm sure you feel the same way, right? It pisses you off when someone wastes your time. So how do you make the best use of your time? By the way, I'm going to stop doing this time. I'm going to do it a few more times, but then I'm going to stop saying time. No, I'm not. I just lied. keep it real. Everybody knows there's some things you want to do with your time and, you know, how you want to spend it, you know. Like I said, I'm 48 years old. I don't have any kids. If I decide to have kids, I know I better do it quick before I'm going to school with the kid and I look like father time. I was thinking about that. That's one of the reasons why I decided to change the first segment of this. I was just thinking about how annoyed I was to have all that. I mean, I could literally, I have my podcast so sketched out. I literally could have almost recorded it in real time. I could have done it in one long 1 hour segment or four quick 15 minute segments or 2 half-an-hour segments. I could have literally have my podcast recorded and edited before this guy actually showed up. If he had just said, I'm not going to be there till 11 and I was already up at 8:30. I could have said, okay, no problem. Recorded my crap, edited my crap up, and I would have been ready to roll. And I would have had the whole rest of the day free. But he wasted my time. Guys, gals, no matter what country you're in, Canada, I mean, there's countries, people listen to this in the United States, people listen to this in France, people listen to this in Australia, Great Britain, apparently some people in China and stuff like that. Listen, your time is valuable, man. You know, realize it is very, very valuable. And don't even allow anybody around your punk ass if they don't value your time. I'm not even just talking about jackasses who are obligated, had to do something for you that they promised they would do and were obligated to do and showed up too damn late and were lucky I didn't get into the running position, run at them at a full head of steam, jump into the air till my body was horizontal and hit them in the chest with my 2 feet, a.k.a. drop kicking their punk asses. Make sure that you have somebody that values your time. I talked about, you know, relationships. You don't want to waste your time at that. Don't waste your time. You know, if you know it's not going anywhere, get the hell out of there. Right? If you have friendships where people are always late and doing stupid crap and wasting time, get out of that crap. Don't have them around you. Because I had to get rid of a bunch of people. You know, I had to get rid of a bunch of people. And when I say get rid of them, I don't mean I had some big confrontation with them like, damn it, I am tired of the way you're treating me. I shall now declare that our friendship is over. I didn't do that. I still liked their company, but I never let them get in a position where I was locked in to what they did. You can't do that. I know they're time wasters. I know it. I know it. When I say get rid of people, I mean change the relationship so you can still enjoy their company if their company is something you enjoy, but never let them be in a position where they can be the anchor tied to your nuts when you're trying to run down the street. I didn't leave you out, ladies, an anchor tied to your chest yummies. Chest yummies are sensitive. I mean, testicles are more sensitive than chest yummies, but you get the point. I would say ovaries, but that's internal, and that's kind of gross that they would actually put, how are you going to tie chains to ovaries? They're inside. Testicles are on the outside. You can tie a chain of those. Trust me, I knew a couple of ladies who worked in, you know, a business where they would, you know, do stuff like that to people. But that's a long story, and I don't feel comfortable telling you about that yet. I had a couple of lady friends that, you know, I didn't realize that they do that. I was like, why is this? She always, she's such a nice lady. She dresses so conservatively. What a beautiful young lady. I think I'm going to ask her out. Hi. Hi, yes, Anthony. You know what? About 20 years from now, I'm going to be doing a podcast and talking about this. You're okay with that? What's a podcast? It hasn't been invented yet. Well, anyway, I just want to say something right now. You're a very lovely lady. I always see you in the place here. You come to the clubs and everything like that, and I think you're gorgeous and everything. And I notice you don't have a wedding ring on. I'm not trying to be one of those weirdo guys, but I just think you're beautiful. And I really would like to spend some time with you. I think you're awesome. Oh, that's very sweet. And when someone says, that's very sweet, usually that means, no way in the world are you going to be putting your mouth on my body anyway, you loser. But she actually thought that I was pretty sweet. Yes, she did. Oh, yeah. So she gives me her phone number, and I go home, and I drive home. And you know how you watch that old Toyota commercial where the person jumps in the air and they click their heels and go, hey, Toyota or Honda or whatever the hell car it was. Whatever it was, the dudes or lady would jump in their air in happiness and click their heels together. And I did that because I knew she liked me enough that we were going to go on a date. And I knew she liked me enough that I was almost guaranteed I was going to get this. Never mind. You get the point. So we go out. And she's a real sweetheart. She's always dressing conservatively. Not conservatively where you think she's living with the Amish, but conservatively, you know what I mean? And we're going out, and then we go out on the first date. And I was like, can I kiss this girl? I don't want to be like, because she's very conservative, you know. So I kind of leaned forward like I was going to give a hug. And then I kind of put my face near her face. And I was like, well, it's going to be her choice whether to kiss me or not. And then she gave me a little peck on the side of the mouth. Nah. And I'm going, all right. And then I, of course, immediately wiped my face with my finger and jammed my finger in my mouth because I wanted to spit in my mouth. I wanted to, you know, French kiss the babe. But that's all the spit I got was on the corner of my mouth. And I'm like, good enough. Oh, pushed it into my mouth. She's delicious. Aha. That's not weird. Shut up. And we go out on our second date. And this time she wraps her arms around my waist and puts her head on my shoulder while we're waiting for the dinner. And I'm going, all righty, ha ha, that's great. Maybe I'll get more spit in my mouth, ha ha. And then she pushed me on the floor, stepped on my chest, said, open your mouth, bastard. And then I opened my mouth. And what are you doing? And then she spit in my mouth. That did not happen, nor would I let that happen. So we go to the dinner. Have a great time. I take her home. This time she kisses me on the mouth. Mwah. Everything's great. Ha-ha. Did she jam her tongue down my throat? No, but there's always the third date. You know, and I know a lot of people go on the third date to have sex. Well, not this time, but that's okay. I know I'm most likely going to have sex with her at some point. Doesn't matter. She's worth the wait. And I still have not been in her house. I don't understand that. Don't care. At some point, well, I'll be getting it on, but it really doesn't matter. Third date, tongue down the throat, grab my butt, still wouldn't let me come in the house. Not a problem. I'm happy with the tongue down the throat grabbing of the buttocks. I took it because when the woman slams her tongue down your throat and grabs your buttocks, you know exactly what's going to happen on date number four. It rhymes with banging. Actually, it is banging. Date number four, I show up. All of a sudden, she's not dressed conservatively at all. She's wearing a tight skirt. Oh, yeah. She's wearing a revealing top. Ah. And it revealed more because I didn't know that much was in there, but not it really didn't. Have, I now know that not only is that much in there, but I'm going to, at some point before tomorrow, I will probably be enjoying those. Because I already enjoy her as a person. Oh, yeah. We go out on a date, and now all of a sudden she's squeezing my bicep. You really working out? At the time, I was in shape. Shut up. And then you think she's grabbing my face and kissing me on the face all the time. And then she sits on my lap. And I'm sitting there going, oh, God, this is to get the warm booty on my lap. And I'm going, I hope to please let us get it on this evening because this is ridiculous. And then we were having conversations with other couples in the place. And she's like, this is my guy. And I was Steve at the time. This is my guy, Steve. And I'm like, oh, she's calling me her guy. And you know what that means. And by that I mean sex. We go back to her place. And I'm about to walk up the steps. I'm pretty sure but I'm gonna wait till she invites me in. She opens the door. She says, stay right here. And I'm going, oh, crap. She's doing the tease thing. I said, that's okay. She's worth the wait. And then she goes, ha, just kidding. Come on. She reaches back. She grabs my hand and she drags me into the house. Ha, 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 ha. And she goes, you know, it's a very special evening. Yes, it is. Ha, 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 ha. You know, I really feel that you're a sweetheart and I really want to share a special evening with you. Ooh, 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 ooh. I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to change into something and I'm going, ha, 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 ha. Whatever you change into, I'm going to rip it off you anyway and take you to Bang City. So I don't care what you turn. You can come downstairs in the hunting outfit. I don't care. I'll rip it off you and bang your hunter buttocks. Ah, I don't care if you come down in the Santa suit. You're going to be going, ho, 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 when I give you the big gift. You know what I'm saying? Ah, ha, 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 ha. She comes down and she's got like a Catwoman outfit on with a whip. Don't care, because it's even more revealing than the crap she was wearing tonight. And she says, before we get started, I want to let you know what I do for a living. Okay, I really don't care. I just want to get that catsuit out of you and get something up. You know what I'm saying. And she pushes a button, and the lights come on. I'm going, okay, what's the big reveal? You got lights? I mean, this is modern society. Everybody has lights. She pushes another button, and the curtain goes back, and there's a big cross on the wall with, like, two chains and crap on it and like handcuffs attached to the wall. I'm like, okay, really not into all of this. That's a lie. I mean, none of your businesses. And she goes, okay, before we get started, I just want to let you know what I do for a living because I just, you know, because it's like I try to keep my work separate from my personal life. And I'm thinking, I really want to just get it on with you right now because you're killing me in this Catwoman outfit. Because now, and she's follow me, and she walks, and then I realize now that there's no buttocks in the Catwoman uniform, and I she's saying something, but all I'm thinking about is I need me in there. And we walk into another room, and she's walking upstairs into her bedroom. I'm going, finally the banging, and she goes in, and she turns on the TV, and I'm going, is she going to record us? I don't give a crap. I just want some of this woman. And then she turns on. She goes, see this right here? And what it is, it's a video of what she does for a living. And what does she do for a living? Tie dudes up and beat the crap out of them for money. She doesn't even bang them. She just ties them up and beats the crap out of them. And I'm thinking, I'm really not going to allow this to happen. She goes, oh, no, I'm not going to do that to you. And I'm going, no, you're not. She shows me videos of dudes' things with weights tied to them, and her punching dudes in the stomach and smacking them, and just calling her mistress and crap. And I'm going, you want? She goes, yes. This is not just my house; it's my dungeon. I'm going, what? She goes, oh no, it's not anything weird. It's just that when this business, this is what we call, you know, the place where we bring our submissives and we tie them up and beat the crap out of them for money. This is my dungeon, and this is what we do. And I said, so these things are called dungeons. She goes, yes, it is. And I'm sitting there going, I'm really uncomfortable with this. I mean, there's a video of her beating she actually filmed herself beating dudes up and tying stuff to stuff and whooping them and punching them and then putting stuff in stuff and hitting them with stuff. And I'm not into that. I don't. And I'm watching the guy and I'm going, he paid for that. He should be telling you military secrets. What the hell is this book? And then looking at the film, and I'm completely like, this is, I was really excited and a perfect, better than Halle Berry looking everything woman. And then she was half naked and looking at her butt while we walked up the steps and thinking, yum. And I'm like, I really don't, I got to get the hell out of here. And I turn around and now she ain't wearing nothing. And I turned off the TV. And we banged each other senseless. But I knew that the relationship wasn't going to go anywhere. Mainly because there were times when I would call up for my boyfriend banging, and she was too busy kicking the shit out of a couple of stockbrokers with stuff stuck in their butts. And I said, listen, I kind of got the feeling that she was banging some of them. You know, I mean, let's keep it real there. You know, I found out later she was banging some of them, but she wanted normal, nice guy to get it on with because these other guys are freaks. But I mean, I don't want to be with these weirdos. I mean, the weirdos that you decided that they were paying you money. And I said, listen, I have no big deal with your profession. I mean, to me, it would be the equivalent if you were, you know, maybe you were a professional, you were like a dancer at a nightclub or something like that. I've dated a couple of those and all of that kind of stuff. But the thing is like the dancer at the nightclubs, they weren't letting anybody touch stuff. They weren't touching anybody's stuff. They would dance and take the money and all that kind of crap. But even then, I was like, I can't deal with it at the time. But even as an older guy in my 20s at this time, you know, I'm like, you know what, I like you as a person, but this is just not me. You know what I mean? She goes, I understand that. You know, I don't hold it against you. You know, it's like, I mean, I lose a lot of boyfriends that way because they don't want to deal with this kind of stuff. And it's just, you know, I can understand it. Now, I wanted that woman really badly because, like I said, Halle Berry plus. But I also knew that she wasn't going to stop doing this anytime soon. Right? And at the time, I was looking for somebody I could get married. I wanted to raise children in the house, you know? And I just couldn't see myself going, okay, honey, okay, I'm going to go to work. I have to pour some quicksand on top of a stockbroker and run my car over his foot and then punch him in the throat. And then I'll be back with the $700. I just, mommy, are you going to go off right now? There's a guy on the phone right now. He says something about he wants you to kick him in the junk. Well, that's a trash truck guy, dear. Why'd you let the baby answer the phone? I didn't let the baby answer the phone. Why did you put business phone in the kitchen? I forgot. I don't want to have that conversation. Now, do I have friends that whoop people's asses and all of that crap? Of course I do. Have I banged a couple of them? You're damn right. But even they said, listen, I don't want to get in a relationship right now. I don't want to waste your time. And I didn't want to waste that lady's time. She could have found a dude that was cool with it. I'm pretty sure she did. But I didn't want to waste her time. I've been at jobs, my friend, where when I worked in a different city, when I was still doing my comedy thing, and I wanted to stockpile a little extra money. I did end up, if you heard the episode about me working at the car wash before I moved to L.A. the first time. Well, one time I decided, you know what, I'm going to do a part-time job, and I'm going to do that while I'm in Los Angeles. I'm going to get a part-time job. Well, I'm in Los Angeles, and I worked, I went to this employment agency, and I did all that kind of stuff, too, just like I did back on the East Coast, where I am now, obviously. And there were people that wanted to commit, but I didn't want to waste their time, so I don't even do that anymore. Like I said, I value my time, and I don't want to waste anybody else's time. I didn't want to waste that woman's time when she decided she wanted to kick the crap out of stockbrokers and, you know, whatever kind of guy driving off in the BMW when he's walking funny to go back to his car because he had a weight tied to his nuts. I don't want to be involved in that, even though I did bang her for a while. I mean, the woman was incredible. I wouldn't want to do not bang her. I mean, I disapproved of her choice of job. I didn't really care. I just wanted to jump on top of her, and I did. But I know that the kind of life that I want to lead, and I know that in my life, I want somebody to be, I want like a quiet, regular life, man. And I would have been just wasting her time. She would have been wasting my time. So, folks, listen. You know how valuable your time is. You know the kind of stuff you want to do. You know the kind of people you want to have around you. You know the kind of life you want to have. If you're doing something that is not leading towards that, do you know what you're doing? You're wasting your time. So don't do that. Make sure, my friends, that you always, always, always value what? Your time? You want to say time into the microphone again? What are you here for? I mean, you're talking about valuing somebody's time. I've been waiting here for a long time to get paid. Paid? Yeah, you think I work for free? Yes, you do work for free. No, I do not work for free. How am I supposed to pay you? In money. Well, you don't even exist. You're me doing another voice. Oh, that's right. So anyway, folks, don't let anybody waste your time, my friend. You dig? Coolness. Segment over. All right, guys, let's talk about something interesting here. There's going to be an election for president in a little more than a month. And I'm not exactly the most excited guy. Usually when I go to the ballot box, it's like, yeah, I can't wait to vote for this person or that other person. I'll get them. And I guess this is probably more of a get-the-get-other-person-get-them type elections, and I don't like those. I like to be voting for something, not against something. I like to be excited about it, right? Don't you like to be more excited about getting something than doing something to stop something? Aren't you, right? Aren't you more excited when you go to the store for Christmas? I'm going to go and get that television I've always wanted. I'm going to get those shoes I've always wanted. And finally, yeah, that new thing came out, and it's awesome, and I'm going to go get it. I can't wait. You're excited. You get in the car, you're driving to the thing, and you're going there, and you're listening, and then the traffic starts to annoy you because the traffic is the only thing keeping you from getting to that thing, and you can't wait to get to that thing. Oh, I can't wait to get that thing. This is going to be great. When I get that thing, then you show up and you get the thing and you take back the thing to your house. You open up the thing, you use the thing, and the thing does exactly what the thing's supposed to do. When you're happy, you got that thing. Yay. That's what it feels like when you're going for something. Maybe there's a candidate you want to vote for, and you're going, I want to vote for this lady, this guy. And you go to the thing, and you're standing in line, and you got a good candidate, and everybody in line's happy. Hey, I can't wait till he or she does this, and I believe he or she's going to do this, that, and this, that, and other stuff, and they're going to do this, and if they get in legislation, this, that, law, this, that, now, change this, that, bill, pass this, that, health, this, health, that, roads, this, that, ha-ha, new, this, reform, this, that, yay. Because when I voted for the President Obama the first time in 2008, everybody was all happy. Now, if you're listening to this, and I know that there's a lot of people listening to this, this isn't necessarily about any particular candidate. This is just about a feeling of voting for something, moving towards something with a positive attitude. We were standing in line, and I was literally the first person in my state, in my district, to vote for the President of the United States in 2008. I'm usually the first or second person to vote because I get there the early so I can get it out of the way. But here's the thing. People in line were celebrating, happy, literally. This is not even a joke. Trash trucks would drive by, and the municipal workers were honking a horn and pumping their fist and pointing, shouting Obama out the windows. Cars were driving by, honking, saying Obama out the windows. Right? People were writing, when they got stickers that said I voted, they wrote Obama under I vote on their stickers. Everybody was excited because those people were voting for something. For something. It's like when you go to the department store, like I just illustrated and described in the beginning. You can't wait to get that thing and buy that thing and bring that thing back and open that thing and get to that thing. You're for something. But there is also going to get something that's to stop something when you're voting for a candidate because the other candidate absolutely sucks. The other candidate's a piece of crap in your mind. The other candidate's just going to get in and F everything up, and it'll even not only F everything up for everybody, really F everything up for you. It's like when you go to the store because your house, you know, somebody broke into your backyard and stole your lawnmower, and you're driving to the store because you're like, I didn't have a good enough lock on the gate. This time I'm going to get another lock. I got to get a lock and buy this lock. This lock's going to cost $50. That last lock was like $8 because nobody ever took my lawnmower before, and you're driving there. I can't believe that bastard. I mean, you stole my damn lawnmower. I mean, they could at least have stole a lawnmower after I finished mowing the damn lawn. I mean, at least then I could have had the mowed lawn, but this bastard stole it. How come he didn't mow my lawn and then steal my lawnmower? What a piece of crap. That's what I can't stand. People that don't like to work. I can't. What kind of guys? I mean, only take that. It wouldn't have taken that long. I mean, to mow the damn lawn. It had gas in it. All you had to do was pull the thing and mow the lawn. If you're going to steal that bastard and you're in traffic and they're like, what are these people getting in the way? Don't you realize I got to buy a $50 lock because my $8 lock didn't work? I'd like to take that lock and throw it at these people. And you go to the place, hey, I need a $50 lock. You need a $50 lock. What's somebody to do? Steal your lawnmower? Yeah. There's been a whole thing about people stealing lawnmowers, man. They're a bunch of the guy stole my lawnmower. He didn't even mow my damn lawn. Why he could at least? That's what I was just saying. I was saying it too. Those bastards. That bastard. Here's your $50 lock. Thanks a lot. And you drive by and you put your $50 lock on there and you're mad. Every time you see the lock, you're mad. Every time you see the lock, you're mad. In fact, now you can't see the lock. Why? Because the grass grew so high that it blocked the lock. Why did it grow that high? Because that bastard stole your lawnmower. That bastard. You're mad. Well, that was you going to stop something because of something bad happened. It sucks. I never liked politics when it comes to that kind of thing, when it becomes really horrible. I hate when you have to go against something instead of for something. That sucks. But let's be honest. Most politicians absolutely stink. Let's keep it real. How many really, really nice ones? Whenever you see one that's doing a lot of good stuff, they're on the news. Why? Because normally they don't do good stuff. Because normally they absolutely suck. Are there good ones? Yes. Is it most of them? Hell no. Come on, man. When you call somebody a politician, you're giving them an insult. You're insulting them when you're calling them a politician. Why? Because 92% of them suck. Yeah, I said it.
Well, it's really not fair to say 92% of them suck, S. Anthony, because, you know, you can't make a blanket statement like that.
Yeah, I can make a blanket statement like that. I can make a blanket statement like that. I can make a quilt statement like that. I can make a full house covered rug statement like that. I can make a road statement like that. I can make an industrial highway statement like that. I can make a statement like that. No, you get the point, you bastards. I mean, think about it for a second. You turn on the TV commercials and what do you see? A bunch of stupid ass commercials with a bunch of jackasses lying to you when they know they're lying to you and you know they're lying to you. But even though they know you're lying, they're lying to you and you know they're lying to you, they lie anyway. Hi, my name is Lying Piece of Crap, and here's a bunch of people smiling that I hired to smile who don't even realize they're in a political commercial. Those dumb bastards were told they were going to be an industrial commercial smiling because they really like this. Look at this old lady right here smiling and waving at the camera. She has no idea she's in a political commercial. We told her old ass that she was going to be in a commercial for dentures. That's why she's smiling so much. Well, she signed a release form, so fuck her. And look at these little kids running. They weren't even supposed to be in the commercials. We actually found out who their parents were, used our political power to go inside of their banking accounts where they signed checks. We found someone who could forge their signature, and according to our paperwork, their signature is on these release forms. And the one of them that complained about it and said they were going to go to the press, how can I put it to you this way? Well, cocaine was found in their car. Did they take cocaine? Nope, but that's not what it looks like. And the charges were dropped, and the file was sealed, unless they opened their mouth about the fact that we just took pictures of their kids, even though the kids were not allowed, but should not have been filmed. But we couldn't find kids that were going to be happy, and then on cue, we'd actually have to hire those, and we're not going to do that. We just filmed some kids laughing and joking and put that crap into our commercial. And we're going to fill 30 seconds with this crap, and then at the end, I'm going to come out and go, "Hi, I'm Lying Sack of Shits. And I approve this bull crap message, you dumb bastards, because you know I lied my ass off. I ain't doing crap for you chumps. I'm going to take this job because I'm 50 years old, and I'm going to keep this job for 30 years, and I ain't going to accomplish anything for your punk asses, but I'm going to have a whole bunch of libraries and crap named after me to feed my ego, because you're really going to be feeding my bank account, because I'm going to rip your punk asses off as much as possible, like 92% of my freaking colleagues. How about the rest of you? We're going to rip them off, too." See, they all said it, too. You dumb bastards. Every political commercial. I hate them. You know, I hate them. And let's just say 92% of politicians, then let's just say they're scumbags. Let's just say that they're really not that effective in getting anything done. Let's just say that. For whatever reason, 92% of the time, they're not effective at getting anything done. And 8 out of 100, just using 100 as a round as the number, 8 of them actually continue to try. And of the 8 that continue to try, maybe one gets a little something done. Okay, we'll use that as a ratio. Now, it may be unfair because I don't like politicians, but let's just say for the sake of this argument, that's the ratio for this thought experiment. And now we'll take this thought experiment and we'll expand it a bit. And now, instead of politicians, we're going to take that same ratio of ineffectiveness and apply it to other professions. How about that? How about you go to a restaurant and 92% of the time, the food absolutely sucks. 8% of the time, it's not much better than you on your worst day and you can't cook. And one time out of 100, it's awesome. Tastes damn good. But keep in mind, the overall number, the biggest number, is the 92% of the time. And on that 92% of the time, the food absolutely sucks. Would you go to that restaurant? Oh, you wouldn't? Well, what if you were stuck with that being the only place where you could eat? You know, like, say, it was your government, and you only had that one government. There was no other government to go to. There was no other place to go. You were stuck with these dickheads, and now you are stuck with the 92% inefficiency at that restaurant. Oh, no. What about 92% of doctors were horrible? There were 8% of the doctors. Did I just say 92, 8, and 1? Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm pretty good at math. I just misspoke. Shut up, punks. Go back to the previous setup, the previous thought experiment, and pretend I said 92, 7, and 1. I know I know the emails are coming. Hey, man, you said 92, 8, and 1, man. Well, I just said I met 92, 7, and 1. So there you go. So if you already started writing your email in the middle of this segment and you're going to give me a hard time because I said 92, 8, and 1, then, first of all, you have every right to because I did F up. But now that I've corrected myself, shut up, punks. Now back to what I was saying. Ha 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 ha. 92, 7-1. Damn it. Let's just say the same ratio with the doctors. 92% of the doctors, 92% of the doctors, or 92 doctors out of 100 absolutely sucked. Seven of them were trying to do something, but still not that good. And one of them was awesome. And you were stuck with these 100 doctors. Oh, no. There were no other doctors to go to. You were stuck with these. You got to hope you find that one doctor that's good. But odds are you're going to find one of the 92. Or one of the seven. The 92 doctors, you're going to wind up dead because they don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know if those medicines mix at all. Well, who cares? Try them. Huh? If you feel bad, call me. Did Mr. Johnson call me?
No, Mr. Johnson did not call you. You gave him two medications that actually explode inside the body. And he took one pill, took another pill, and exploded in his living room.
Oh, man, write that down. Those two medications will explode when they're inside the body.
Yeah, doctor, they're actually in the database. If you just watch this. This medicine here. Are you looking?
Yeah, I'm looking. Do not put these two medications in a person's body. They will explode. I mean, come on, jackass.
See, that even the computer just called you a jackass.
Yeah, I know. I should have checked.
But that ratio is pretty bad. But the thing is, we do in fact have the power to flip that ratio all the way to the other side. Oh yeah, we have the power, my friends, to take the people that absolutely blow at their job and get them the hell out of there. Imagine what the world would actually be like if we hired competent people to do the job. Oh, imagine if you had a bunch of people in the House of Representatives that actually did what the job title said they did, represent you in the House. Oh, imagine if you had people in the Senate that actually did what they were supposed to do, you know? Oh, imagine if it was normal to have a president of the United States that actually gave a crap about you. Oh, what would the world look like then? Do you think your roads would be fucked up? I don't think so. Do you think you'd be wondering where the next, you would wonder how you're going to pay those hospital bills? You wouldn't, because you probably wouldn't have a hospital bill because you'd probably have Medicare for all. Now, I know what people are thinking. Hey, man, why don't you just stick to the jokes, man? Why are you talking about this, man? I disagree with you politically, and I am upset, man. I like when you talk about, you know, some the crazy stuff, and now all of a sudden you're talking about the government, and you obviously you're one of them libtards, man. You're one of them libtards, aren't you? You're one of them tard libs, right? You're one of them libtard. You're libtard, aren't you? You're one of them libtards. I don't necessarily need the label of any label. The only label I accept is the one that says S. Anthony Thomas. That's the one I accept. I don't accept the libtard label or any of those other kind of things. And I don't accept those labels. I have a name. I just happen to think that in the greatest country in the world, I happen to think in the greatest country in the world, the greatest country, the shining light on a hill, that people shouldn't be living in the streets because their hospital bills threw them there. See, I know what it's like to have hospital bills kick me in the teeth because it happened to me once. Hospital bills ran right through my ass. Hospital bills kicked me in the balls. Hospital bills kicked me in the teeth. Hospital bills called me the N-word while pushing me down steps. I know what that's like. And if you have college debt, and you have a lot of it, and you're 50 years old, and you still haven't paid the shit off, then you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Kind of follows you around like a bad fart, doesn't it? Of course it does. Well, what about you had college? You know, there was a public college. You can actually have a college education that didn't murder your ass. Wouldn't that be cool? It would be cool, wouldn't it? I often wonder, what is the percentage of people's lives that get really, really fucked up over college bills or Hospital bills. What is the percentage? You can do the math, right? You can look it up in a couple of seconds on Google, can't you? I have veterans in my family also. And I know what it's like when they get frustrated, when they want to get medical care and certain other benefits, and it takes a long time, if it happens at all. You know, people that got in the uniform and fought for the United States of America who didn't pay much attention to them when they got back. So what I'm saying is, Election Day is coming up in the 30 days in change. And if we actually do the crap we're supposed to do, you know, now I know that we're voting for the lesser of two evils, and I get that. But that's only part of it. Because a lot of times, even if you vote for somebody that's actually good, what we tend to do is go, whoop, got him in, that's enough, and then we don't do the rest, you know, like, help them get the tools to let them do the job we wanted them to do in the first place. Like, if you elect the president of the United States to do something, and then when it comes time to vote in the midterm elections and you don't vote for the other people who assist the president, you just sit on your ass and let people go in there that don't want to help the president, that block the president on everything, what do you think happens, my friend? And this doesn't even have anything to do with the particular president that I'm talking about. It could be any president of the United States. We always sit on our asses. We don't do the complete job. We have the power, my friends, to put people who do good things in those jobs and make sure that it's mandatory that the people that get those jobs have ethics and the morals and realize that we should not be afraid of them. They should be afraid of us. Not in a physical sense, but in a, you won't have that job anymore. We're going to put someone in that's competent, compassionate, and intelligent. We're going to put someone like that in those jobs. That's the fear I'm talking about. So, you know, that's all I'm saying, man. You know, when you go to vote, don't vote like the first way I described it. Like, you want this good thing to happen. You want this good person to be in there. You know, like when you went to the, like in the first scenario where you're driving to the store and you have this great thing that you want to put there, this great thing that you want to have happen, this great product that you want to use, put that great thing in there. That's what you want. Because if you do that on a regular basis, if that's the norm, you put the good person into the job, you put the good politician into the job, and that becomes the norm, then you have nothing but good politicians. Then when you watch political commercials, it's just facts. I believe this, my opponent believes that. I think my way is better. Not my opponent. My opponent snorts cocaine off of baby seals while he kicks babies. Oh, yeah. Oh, that did not happen. Yes, it did. We proved that it didn't happen. Doesn't matter. I already put it in the commercial. Right? I mean, I put it to you this way. And how serious I am about it when somebody does something I don't like or something that I think sucks, how serious I am about it. And I think I talked about it before, but there's always new people listening, so I'll do this briefly. It was a corner store near a few blocks from where I was, and I would go in there all the time. And I was a regular customer. You know what I'm saying? I mean, literally, every time they saw me, I'm telling you, at least $5-6 every time they saw me. And sometimes I would come in and I literally, because people knew I was going to the store, and the store itself was centrally located, meaning the people that live close to me that know me, whether it be a friend or relative, I would go to the store and I would call, yeah, man, I'm going to the store to get something. You want something? Oh, yeah, why don't you give me a blue? So when I walked in, these people were wanted to purchase something, but they didn't want to get up and go out. And I was the one that was actually getting up and going out, which means I was literally funneling money that they normally wouldn't have gotten at all to that specific store. So sometimes it got to the point where every time I walked into the store, I was good for $20. It wasn't all my $20. It might have been $5 of my and $5 from this person and $5 because I got something. Oh, the next door neighbor or a friend or something like that, or a relative or people in my house that were probably not going to get anything but only got something because I was, in fact, going to the store. So I was $20 virtually every time I walked in there. And I ordered a sandwich. And the sandwich that I wanted only costed a couple of bucks. No big deal. You know, there was a negligible amount of money. By the way, if you're wondering why it took me 3 tries to say negligible, it's because I like to mix it the way, you know, Chaka Khan. I like to remix sometimes. I like to remix myself in the middle of sentences. It wasn't me trying not to choke on the soda that I'm drinking. Wait a minute, why did I tell you guys I was drinking a soda? I'm really professional. I never drink soda while doing the podcast. I almost choked to death. Give me a break. But I go into the store, and I'm $20 every time. I order the sandwich. Like I said, it's a $2 sandwich. And I said, I forgot what the sandwich was. And I ordered it, and I literally get that sandwich all the time. The guy made a mistake on the sandwich, and the sandwich was not what I wanted. It was one of my other choices. Not a choice that I'd made, but something that I found acceptable to eat. Just wasn't what I wanted when I go there. And he made a mistake, his mistake, not my mistake, because I order the same stuff all the time. And he goes, "Oh, no, I already made it, man. Sorry. $4. Now, that's also not a lot of money, not a big deal, right? And I looked at him and I'm going, huh? Now, I've worked retail. And if I made a mistake, and it was some small punk thing, it was like $2 here or there, and I made the mistake, not them, me, and it was definitely my mistake. Do you know what I did? I said, you know what? You normally pay $2. Don't worry about it. It was my mistake. And that's not a big deal. That's a way to build goodwill. And the sucker started to give me a hard time. Well, you don't want to make all the sandwiches. You don't want to make. Like it was a conspiracy on my part. I know what I'm going to do. I always order the sandwich that costs $2, but this time I'm going to get the $4 sandwich, even though I don't want it. Don't really. I'm going to go in. I'm going to pretend I ordered my original. I'm going to order my original sandwich. Oh, yeah. Forget about that bank heist, guys. I got a better scam right here. Then I'm going to go to the corner store. I'm going to order my regular sandwich. And then I'm going to say, wait a minute, give me the $4 sandwich. And then when he goes to the counter, I'm going to act like I ordered the $2 sandwich. Oh, yeah. I still get my wonderful sandwich, but I get a better sandwich. And I'll save myself $2. Oh, yeah. I'm forgetting about that bank scam we were going to do. Forget about that jewel heist we had planned. Forget all that crap. Forget about that computer scam and all of those other mastermind criminal enterprises we had going. We're going to go to corner stores all over New Jersey. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to order sandwiches and then say we didn't order those sandwiches and make them make more expensive sandwiches and then say we ordered the cheap sandwich. And then after we take over the state of New Jersey, we're going to go to Philadelphia and do the same thing, because I'm in Philadelphia all the time. And that's not it. That's not all, guys. Then we're going to take our double sandwich scam from Philly to Jersey. We'll even take it as far as Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania. We'll do the whole, forget it. We'll do the whole state of Pennsylvania, the whole state of New Jersey. We'll do Delaware as well. Then we'll go down and we'll do Maryland. And then we'll do D.C. And then we're going to go up to Boston and New York. There will be no corner store that has not fallen to our scam. Oh, yeah. I know you wanted to put your son through college, but I think we can pay for your son's college by scamming people out of $2 on sandwiches. No. So the guy's giving me a hard time. But you said don't you. He's, and I'm sitting there going, people are looking at me like, what the hell did that guy do? That guy must have done something really horrible. And I'm sure he didn't order his sandwich that he always orders exactly the same way. And this jackass decided he was not paying attention and made a mistake. And instead of taking a customer that's good for $20 virtually every time he goes to the store, $20, just biting the $2 and building some goodwill with that customer, I'm sure he's not going to start yelling at the guy and trying to embarrass the guy over his mistake. Well, they were wrong. And I said, you know what, dude? I come in here every day. I order exactly the same sandwich. I never get this particular sandwich. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the sandwich, but I never get this particular sandwich. Everybody in here knows that. I think even you know that. You couldn't possibly not know that. And now when you make a mistake, even if you said to me, oh, I'm sorry, man, oh God, I already made this one. You know what? If you would have said that to me instead of going, you mother, you blah, 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 if you had done that, talked to me with some respect and said, oh, I'm sorry, man, I made the wrong sandwich. You know what I would have done? I would like, you know what? That's all right. And I would have bought the sandwich anyway. You would have gotten the extra $2. It's not a big deal. But now you decide to treat me like a fucking piece of shit. I'm not taking the sandwich. And guess what else is not going to happen? I'm never coming in here again. And I haven't been in there ever again. I actually drive by that place to go to another place that's further away. And sometimes I go to a store in the other direction. But I will not go back into that place. Why? Because you treated me like shit when I've been nothing but good and a big profit to you for a long period of time. I made a decision. Nope. Not putting up with it. And now there's another store getting exactly the same amount of money that that store isn't getting. That's how serious I am about when someone treats me like shit, I get rid of them. So if I'm going to put up, if I'm going to shut somebody down like that over a fucking sandwich because of the way they treated me, you don't think I'm going to shut somebody down who's going to mess the country up or mess my city up or mess my state up? You're damn right I will. And we should all have that exact same attitude about politicians and people in power if we have the opportunity to get rid of them by voting or writing letters or whatever we have to do. You deserve respect, my friends. You deserve to be treated well. Just like in the first segment. Like I said, your time is valuable. In the first segment, I talk about how valuable your time is. And in this final segment, I'm talking about how much value you have. So when you see politicians that are doing stupid crap, pay attention to what they're doing. And realize if they suck, get their asses out of there. Because the current way of thinking is it's really hard to get rid of an incumbent, and we all believe that crap. How is it hard to get rid of an incumbent when most people don't vote in the first place? If the other people showed up to vote and the incumbent sucks and you actually showed up, his or her punk ass is out of there. The conventional wisdom should be if you don't do the job, your punk ass doesn't have a job. If you don't serve your constituents, you don't get to work in public office. If you lobby and do lots of bullshit, you don't get a job. If we changed that, then everything else changes. Right? If the people in power are held accountable to us, the regular people, then a lot of the things that we're complaining about right now don't happen. Right? You don't have, there'll be no need to kneel before a football game during the national anthem because of the things that were happening that make people kneel would not be happening because the people in power would know better than to mess with the citizens. Impeachment would be something that would actually be in a dictionary, an old word that doesn't get used that often because politicians would know, don't do shit that will get you impeached because they'll impeach your ass. Right? We know about drawn and quartered, right? Nobody gets drawn and quartered anymore. They were doing that a long time ago. I'm not saying we should, I mean, actually, should have never been doing that because, quite frankly, you don't need to be cutting people in pieces. But what I'm saying is it becomes a quaint term from the past. Right? So let's just take all of these things, all of these people in power who do the bad things, and make their names quaint terms from the past, like McCarthyism and things of that nature. All you got to do is pay attention. Look at the people that are doing the bad crap to you and making sure their punk asses don't have a job anymore. You're valuable. Just like in the first segment, your time is valuable. And in this segment, I'm telling you that you're valuable. And you should only have people working for you that value you like I do. Segment over. Well, folks, thank you very much. This has been this episode of the Yes Anthony Says podcast, episode number 235. Much love to everybody. I want to thank you guys, the new listeners that have come along. Much love to you. Do me a favor, you bastards. Follow me on other social media. I am on Twitter. Me, my personal Twitter is at S. Anthony Thomas. The show Twitter, the Twitter for this show is at S. Anthony Says. I am on Instagram. Surprisingly enough, you'll never guess what my Instagram is. It's S. Anthony Thomas. I know. Shocker. I have a verified page on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, type in the search box, S. Anthony Says, and my Facebook fan page will pop up. It's verified, verified, verified. You hear that, Twitter? I'm fucking verified on Facebook. Get on with it, damn it. All right? I digress. And the email, as I know a lot of you know, because like I said, I'm sure some of you are going to write, hey, man, how about that bad math in segment two? Well, I'm going to say right now, I love you guys, but pre-screw you to the people that write that. Because I know it's coming. So pre-shut up, you bastards. But the email the email for me is talktosanthony@gmail.com. talktosanthony@gmail.com. So go ahead and continue to use it because that's the new one. I'm going to keep that one. Much love to everybody. Hello, hashtag Potter and family. Hello, family on the Podcast Revolution Network. Hello to you. Hello to my bastards around the world. Hello, bastards in the United States, bastards in Canada, my Great Britain bastards, my Australian bastards, and my bastards everywhere else. Much love to you. I love talking to you. Thank you for everything that you do. And I will talk to you next week. It doesn't matter to me if you're listening to me in your car, on a lawnmower, in your earbuds while you're walking down the street, on a treadmill. It doesn't matter. I got love for you, and I love being in your ear. And I'm going to say goodbye the way I always say goodbye. I'm going to do it on the count of three, and I want you to do it with me. Are you ready? One, two, three, S.